So you can see the lost, find, rejoice bit in that one, can't you? It's the son that's lost. He goes away. The father finds him. And the important bit about that is the father runs out to meet him. He says he sees him a long way off and he goes out to him. This son had just left him and taken his money and had spent it, but the father runs out to see him. And I love that in that clip of the father like hoisting up his skirt and legging it down the road and giving him a massive hug. Because in that culture, patriarchs didn't run. They wouldn't do that. You don't do that. And also he goes up and he kisses the son. And the son should be the one that comes and kisses his feet, but the father runs out to him and kisses him instead. He's so compassionate. He doesn't care about the social norms. He just is so joyful to see his son back. He won't even listen to his pre-prepared speech about the way he's done things wrong and he wants to be a servant. The father doesn't even respond to it. He just says straight away to his servants, prepare the party now. So the fourth point here in this particular story, so it's lost, then find, then rejoice, and then the son is restored. He's restored back into the relationship with his father, which is unblemished. So that's God bringing the lost home. The focus in all of these parables about how God goes out and finds the thing. The shepherd goes out and finds the sheep. The woman diligently looks until she finds the coin. And the father runs out to the son, finds him and brings him back in. So the next question then is, who are the lost? Because parables are showing us there are stories that illustrate something else. So Jesus is telling us something about the kingdom of God in these parables. So who are the lost? We can work this out by looking at the first verse in Luke 15, which is this one here. So it says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. So which of these groups that Jesus is talking to about the parables are the lost in the parables that he's just told? The lost in the parables that we've just looked at, where the lost thing is found and there is rejoicing, are the tax collectors and the sinners. These were the people that lived away from the law. So the Pharisees particularly didn't like them. The Pharisees wanted to keep the law. These people did otherwise. So being lost in this case is being in sin. And being in sin is when we seek ourselves rather than seek God, which Paul talks about quite a bit in Romans 2. And also Steve mentioned last week, so when we leave behind our self-centered life is when we leave sin. So these people are looking for ways to have control themselves. It's when we want to be the God of our lives. The tax collectors and the sinners were disregarding the law and trying to live in their own way and going after what they wanted. So Jesus is responding in these parables to the Pharisees' claim that he welcomes sinners and eats with them. He says, you accuse me of welcoming sinners and eating with them, and you are correct. He tells this in parables, but he might as well be saying this. That's precisely what I do. I don't do it at night behind the door, rather in broad daylight. And before assembled guests, I search out the sinners, that I might by any means convince them to come in and eat with me. That is really good news. God brings the lost home in open day. Nothing is hidden. He runs out to find them and he brings them back. So we know that group are the lost that he is talking to. But they're not the only people listening to the parable. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, all the scribes, are also there. And it's these people that the elder brother in the parable of the prodigal son represents. So we'll call this Act 2, the elder brother. So again, this is Luke 15, verses 25 to 31. So I'll just read that one for you. Now, his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, And your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who's devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that's mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this brother of yours was dead, and he is alive. He was lost, and now he is found." So do you see why the elder brother is also lost at this point? If our definition of lost is being still in sin, still seeking yourself first, rather than seeking God, it's easy to see that he's seeking himself first, isn't it? He's angry, maybe a bit like this, the angry bird picture that I got for that one. He doesn't love the father. He just wants his stuff, exactly the same as the first son. He's just doing it in a different way. "Look," he says to the father, which is rude now to address somebody like that. But back then, it just, you didn't do that at all, especially not to your father. "Look," he says, "I've always obeyed you." But why did he obey him? He only did that for what he could get out of it. So rather than running away from the law to get control, to seek himself first, he thinks that if he keeps the law perfectly, if he obeys the Father perfectly, then he will get reward and then control that way. So this is what Jesus is saying that the Pharisees are like. The Pharisees really kept the law strictly and made others do so because they believed once Israel was good enough, the Messiah would come back. They wanted the reward. They were doing this stuff to get the reward, to get the blessing for their enemies to be defeated. They were still lost. Tim Keller suggests that everyone has a tendency to either be more of a younger brother or more of an older brother while they're still seeking themselves. And I don't know how true that is, but I can certainly say of myself that when I was younger, my tendency was much towards being the sort of elder brother type than the younger brother type. I remember at school, this was quite clear often, we used to have a merit system at primary school. I don't know if anyone else had that. If you did something good, you got a merit. And the reward for getting 10 merits in a term was a pencil. That might not seem like much, but I love stationery. I really do. I have a lot of pens and pencils. And this was a particularly great one because they came in four different colours. And you got your schoolhouse colour, but you'd always swap with people to make the full setup. So I wanted to get merits. So there was a couple of people in my class, one in particular who, for the purpose of this story, we'll call Jack. Now, Jack was very naughty. He was one of those people, he was a bit of a class joker, but he'd always interrupt everything and get the whole class in over detention at break. And I used to get a bit annoyed at that, so I haven't done anything, why should I be here, but okay. And then the thing, though, that really, really got me was when it would be in class and he'd behave well. I was like, that's great. But because he was usually really bad and then he behaved really well, he'd get a merit for it. And I was always behaving well. I never got any merits because they didn't need to reward me because I would just do any. And I get really angry about that. And I remember complaining to one of my friends. I said, what about me? Like, we never get merits. We're always behaving, but just because he behaves once, he gets one, and that's not fair. Now I won't get a pencil, you know? So, but it's the same thing on a much smaller scale. But the reason that the elder brother's keeping the law is because he wants a reward. He's not doing it out of love. He's still lost. He's still lost, and he gets really angry. But still, the father invites him in. He says to him, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was fitting to celebrate, for your brother was dead and now he's alive. He was lost and now he's found. Jesus doesn't tell us the response of the elder brother. He just leaves it there. But it's important to see that it ends on an invitation. He's inviting the Pharisees in to say, God loves you just as much as the sinners that I eat with in the open. And you're just as invited. All the lost are invited in, and I will come out and find you. But if I don't go out and find the sinners that you think are obvious sinners, you can't come in either. You're both lost. God still wants to bring them home, because that's what God always wants to do. So to sum this up, I've got a clip of Tim Keller talking about this.